We shall again read God's word in the book of Psalms in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, reading there at verse 57. Psalm 119 and reading there at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Amen. The Lord would enable us this evening. We might consider together verse 63. Verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Psalm 119 and verse 63. Our relations and our companions are a great influence on us. Our family tends to mould us, and that together with those that are friends, it makes a great impact upon us. And I suppose especially as we go on, the friends that we choose tends to speak much about us. Well, we can't choose our relations. God brings us into the world with family ties, and these are to be appreciated and valued, and especially if they are godly, then that indeed is a great blessing. We can choose our relations, but we can our companions. We find here the psalmist, as he is speaking to us about the things of God and the importance of God's word and walking in the ways of God, that he reminds us that of the sort of companions that he chose. And we find that he is an example to us in the sort of companions that we are to choose, that he himself made this wise choice. Indeed, can we not say that what we find here in verse 63 should be something that really is true of all God's people? That if you're a true believer this evening, you should be able to say, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep my precepts. Surely we've got here one of the many marks of grace that we find in Scripture. Now, when he's there speaking of companions, he's not speaking of the general company that we might be in. You find yourself among certain people at school, a work environment, and in many different relationships, perhaps often with people. He's not speaking of that general company, but he's speaking of those who might be viewed as companions, those who we would be in company with, those who would be kindred spirits, friends that we hold near and dear. And he says this, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Let's notice two things as we seek to understand what the psalmist here is saying as we seek to draw instruction given to us by God through him. We might notice two things. First of all, he was discriminating in his choice of companions. And secondly, he was wise in his choice of companions. Let's notice these two things as they follow from the text. First of all, you'll notice that he was discriminating in his choice of companions. He wasn't someone who just would choose anyone to be his companion. And in that sense, he discriminated certain people from others. He chose those that feared God, that kept God's precepts. And you'll notice his discrimination was not based on vain prejudice. His discrimination was not based on vain or empty prejudice. Yes, he did discriminate, and there was nothing wrong with that. And it was a right sort of discrimination, because it wasn't based on vain prejudice. If you think of it, there are many people who, when they think of companions, really, it is empty prejudice that leads them to choose certain people. There are people who try and seek out those who are rich and famous and influential, tagging along with them, hoping that somehow they will get something out of them. Your social climbers who are using one person to move up the ladder and help promote themselves and get on themselves in life. Well, you'll notice that's not the way the psalmist worked. We think there are those who seek out a certain social class. There are always people like that. They'll only mix with certain people. We think of how there are those who might look down on those who are below them. Well, they don't speak quite the way we speak. And they don't enjoy or do the sort of things which are seen to be respectable. There can be so much snobbery in society, and we're conscious of these things. And there's also an inverted snobbery, where you've got those who are aware there are some who think they're a cut above others. And, well, you wouldn't want to be associated with these who do certain things. We're not like that. We know what we're talking about, don't we? That seeking out of certain people just because they are like us and looking down on others because they're not quite like us, not as wealthy as us, or they're too wealthy or whatever. Or you think of those who are wicked, who are glad to be amongst those who have a like mind. They want to be amongst those who would encourage sin. As we were thinking of this morning, there are those who prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They want to be left alone, and therefore they avoid God's people. They don't want anything to do with God's people, because they want to be left in their sin. Well, you might find there are some people that really don't want to associate with you, or who have broken off relationships with you, if because of your relationship with the Lord. He, the psalmist, was not like that. His discrimination was not based on vain prejudice. Rather, his discrimination was based on godly principles. And you can see that in the text. He says, I am a companion. I view as those who are kindred spirits. What sort of people? Them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. What were the principles he was looking for in those who would be his companions? Well, it's of those that fear thee and who keep thy precepts. those who feared God, that is, those who have a reverence for God and a love for God in their heart. They respect him, they love him, they speak well of him. They have a desire to honour him, and he is the centre of their affections. Those who have that loving reverence for God. And he speaks of those who keep thy precepts, those who obey. You see, where there is a loving fear of God, there will be that ready obedience to the precepts, to the commandments that God has laid down in his word. He sought out those who were godly, those who cheerfully and earnestly obeyed God, who could say with the psalmist elsewhere in Psalm 40, to do thy will I take delight. O thou my God that art, ye that most holy law of thine I have within my heart. He's discriminating in favour of such. And therefore, you found that he speaks of those who, of how he's a companion of them. Why is he not a companion of the world? Why isn't he a companion of worldly men? Well, it's because they do not fear God. It's because they do not keep God's commandments. It's because the, as James tells us in James 4, where there is the love of the world, there is enmity towards God. And therefore, God's people feel a desire to be companions with those who love him, and they find it difficult to be companions with those who do not love him. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? It is to ally oneself with those who are at war with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, you love God and you love his word and you seek to honour him. And so what happens? You love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. The things of the world and those who love them, well, they're bound up with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, with things which are opposed to God. And you see people who've got no time for God, and well, that grieves you. And therefore, you find it difficult to have companionship with such. Remember Abraham when he went to where Abimelech was? One of the things he said was this: I thought the fear of God was not in this place. I thought there was no fear of God. Don't you feel that with so many people? There is no fear of God. And therefore, when you sense that, there's a limit as to how much you can get involved with these sort of people. Remember King Jehoshaphat. He was a good king. The son of a good king. But he lived in wicked days, in days when the house of Ahab were causing chaos in the northern kingdom of Israel. And you find him becoming involved with them. And eventually, despite various things, including almost losing his life, he doesn't really get the message that he has made a bad choice and being involved with these people. And the Lord sends a prophet to him in 2 Corinthians 19. And the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, goes out to meet him. And he says to the king Jehoshaphat, "Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." What was he doing? He was helping the ungodly and loving those that hate God. And that caused chaos in his family. It gets to the stage where there is almost a loss of the line of David, the kingly line from which the Messiah was to come. Because he'd get involved with the house of Ahab, those who hated God. Friends, are we not to be a people who are discriminating in our choice of companions? And this was the psalmist. He couldn't love those who were ungodly. That is, he couldn't have companionship. He couldn't feel a kindred spirit with those who were ungodly. As he looked in them, in many ways, he could only view them as rebels of his master and of his Lord and of his Saviour. Isn't that something we're to bear in mind? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, there's a limit as to how much we can walk together with the people of this world, those who do not fear God or keep his precepts, when we are not in agreement with them. And indeed, we remember the teaching of 2 Corinthians 6, which is only reflecting the Old Testament teaching of God's covenant promises. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. What is there? What relationship is there? What concord is there between light and darkness, Christ and Belial? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Sometimes we can end up becoming too friendly with those, and we have to draw back because we realise that there is a lack of unity on the things that matter. He was careful about those whom he would view as kindred spirits. You see, here's a believer, he's in the world, but he doesn't feel at home with the people of this world. He knows there's a difference. He mixes with them because he's in the world, but he knows he is not of the world. And therefore he has to mix with them, and he is courteous, and it's interesting. Often that's one of the things that's emphasised in Scripture. We've seen that going through 1 Peter in chapter 3, that God's people are to be a people who are courteous and kind, good citizens. They're to be holy, they're to be blameless. There's a problem. We can't be of a kindred spirit with those and with whom really we are not in heart at one with. And here was the psalmist discriminating in his choice of companions. And yes, sometimes you can get people converted from, an ungodly lifestyle. It may be they've married someone and when they were unconverted, and then one spouse is converted, and that causes difficulties, as put out, say, in 1 Peter 3. And there's the emphasis that the believing spouse is to be loving and gentle, and you see them longing that there would be a closer unity. Not just that unity that there is of being husband and wife, but that unity in the faith. Here are God's people then, discriminating on the basis of godly principles. Because we know the world isn't like God's people. They prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And isn't it true that if you're living in a godly way, you will be a rebuke? And people at times will make snide remarks, they'll say things, or they may avoid getting too close. That's the way they'll be. Why? Because they don't want to come to the light. They don't want to be exposed and have their thoughts and their wrong ideas exposed. Their ungodliness exposed. Here then are God's people. Yes, to be friendly to all, that we might win all. But on the other hand, it's difficult to be close to those who do not fear God, who do not keep his commandments. You'll notice he says, I am a companion of all that fear thee. That's interesting. You can see here that the psalmist actually is saying that he feels a bond with all of God's people. He has a love for all the saints. Do you find that? Do you find there's a bond there, an instant bond almost, when you come across those who are fellow believers? Why? Because they honour God, because they fear God, because they keep his commandments, because they love Christ, because they want to see the extension of the kingdom of Christ. And the more you get to know them, if they're striving after godliness, then the more you look at them, the more you will see the likeness of Christ in them. And you find a love for the brethren growing, because you see something of that reflection of the Lord in them. And you know they're loved by God. And you will love those who love God. Of all them that fear thee. You see, isn't it true? There are some people we're more naturally attracted to than others. Some people aren't the easiest to get on with. Some people are not the most attractive, you could say. They've got their faults and their own idiosyncrasies, and it can be difficult to really be drawn to them. But he says, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. In other words, he's saying, yes, he's acknowledging that there might be some of God's people that we might not feel a natural affinity with on a merely human level, but we can go beyond these things and we can appreciate what God has done for them in Christ and their love for Christ. And they may have their own failings and their own sin, but then we remember that, well, what am I like? And how often, if I really look at myself, I'll see that I sin and I fail to reflect that Christ-likeness that I should have. Yes, I can see his glaring errors and it puts me off to a certain extent, but, well, perhaps he can see some of my errors and perhaps they're glaring as well. And they're off-putting to him. And so we try and get over these things. It's interesting. In the church, one of the problems was, even in the early New Testament church, a discrimination of companionship which wasn't based in godly principles. Remember one of the problems in Corinth, they were of different parties. I follow this man, I follow that one. I get more blessing from this preacher as opposed to that preacher. They become very worldly. Yes, you might find one preacher easier to follow than another. But at the end of the day, it might be the preacher that you don't feel a natural bond with who actually comes and has a message for you that does your soul good. You find them in Corinth, they were at the Lord's Supper. Some were going hungry and others were getting drunk. They were abusing the Lord's table. They had turned it into an occasion for sin. And James has to point out the danger of showing partiality to those who are rich. The rich man comes in. He's given a nice place. The poor man. The person who's got obvious problems in his life. Well, he's sort of left at the back and no one takes much interest. And James points out these things are not to be. It's a denial of our honour of Christ. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious one, with respect of persons. And he gives a whole list of reasons as to why that's so inappropriate. Well, it can so easily slip in. And we must beware of these things. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Let that be us. So he was discriminating in his choice of companions. Notice secondly, he was wise in his choice of companions. Why does he make this discrimination? Well, one reason surely is the ungodly are liable to vex the believer. The ungodly are liable to vex the believer. When you hear people taking the Lord's name in vain, doesn't it grieve you? When they speak of things which are inappropriate and degrade others, or which are unclean, breaches of the seventh commandment, for example, doesn't it vex you? Do you find yourself saying with the psalmist in verse 136 of this psalm, rivers of waters run down mine eyes, and I saw how wicked men go on in sin and do not keep thy law? That was Lot. Now Lot wasn't perfect, and he got a lot of problems in himself. And sometimes we can be perhaps too hard on Lot, though he does deserve a rebuke. But we're told that he did vex his soul night and day when he saw the ungodly conversation and lifestyle of the people of Sodom. He didn't feel a companionship there, though he ended up in amongst them. He made foolish decisions and ended up in amongst them the way he did. But it was a source of trouble and anguish to his heart. Are you vexed when you think of those who go on as if there is no God and speak in coarse ways or in sneering, unbelieving ways about the truth or take God's name in vain? No, if we're not vexed, surely it shows a lack of love to them, as well as a lack of love to God. Surely, we should be aware that those who do not fear God, who do not keep his commandments, are on the road to hell. And that should trouble us and concern us. And we should be vexed at their ungodliness that offends God, and concerned for themselves that they are going on in sin and heading for a lost eternity. They're like those who are rushing headlong over a cliff, and we'll just keep quiet and let them go on. The ungodly, they're liable to vex a believer. There's one reason why that influences our choice of companions. But not only that, the ungodly are a source of temptation to the believer. They're a source of temptation to the believer. Paul tells us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He's talking there of the problem of someone who has sinned grievously in the church, and people think it's quite good. Yeah, you can live an ungodly life and know the grace of God and his forgiveness. And he's saying, wait a minute, enough of that. Don't you realize that if you continue with that sort of attitude, what he's doing will have an impact upon you, will rub off on you, and you'll end up with a low view of sin and of holiness as well. As Paul says in chapter 15, verse 33 of 1 Corinthians, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for all men have not faith. He's saying, look, there are those who'll be a bad influence on you. Do you want to corrupt good manners? Do you want to see yourself corrupted? Don't you realise not everyone has faith? You have to be careful. Now, we practice that daily. When we think of children and grandchildren and the way we care for them, we're not happy just for them mixing with anyone. We're aware there are certain things that may be a bad influence on them. We're careful about the sort of books we might let them read, or music they might listen to, or television they might watch, or videos they might watch. We're aware of these things because there are many sources of temptation. There are many negative influences. There are many things that can quench that spiritual life within our soul. We've all been there, where just the way things go, without it even being anything that is outwardly unlawful and sinful, we can be end up just drawn to speak of and focus on things which don't really matter, rather than Christ. Your workmates, you know, they're talking to you about football or some other sport, or it might be some other thing, and well, they go on and on about these things, and there's nothing wrong with sport as such, and there's nothing wrong with many other sort of hobbies or indeed the work we have to do. But when we end up just mesmerized with these, by these things, then it can draw the focus away from Christ. It can end up quenching our spiritual life. It leads to openings for the evil one to sneak in and to draw us away from God and into sin. Love of the world and love of the Father can't coexist side by side. And so here's a believer and he wants to avoid temptation. He wants to avoid entering into temptation. He wants to avoid being led astray. He's aware of these dangers. He wants to keep up a lively spirit in his soul. And so he's wise in the choice of his companions. Those who vex me is difficult to get close to. Those who will be a source of temptation, well, I will keep from such. But then a third reason why it's wise. The godly will encourage the believer in his pilgrimage. If you were travelling in the old days, perhaps on foot, perhaps along roads that were poorly signposted, you would look to choose to go on in your journey with those who are heading in the same direction. They'll help you on the way. And is that not true of the believer? The believer longs to be in the company of fellow pilgrims. Why? Because he's a pilgrim in this world. He knows where he's going. The world's going in one direction. He's going in the opposite direction. His desires are after the things of God. And so what does he long for? Fellowship. There's someone else who'll be with him. It's hard if you're the only person Who's standing up against the crowd and going against the flow? If there's two of you, it's a lot easier. If you're on a journey and you're having to walk and go on a walk, if you've just gone on a 10-mile walk, well, if it's yourself who's walking, it'll be a long, dreary walk compared to having someone else with you, a companion to share the journey. You see, he chose those who feared God because he knew he could have fellowship with them, that he could focus on the things of Christ, that they would end up speaking of the love of God in Christ Jesus. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord caused the book of remembrance to be written for those who feared him and spoke concerning his name. Isn't it wonderful when you meet God's people and you can share your experiences? You can hear them speaking of their experiences, saying, come all ye that fear the Lord, I'll tell what he's done for my soul. It encourages you. It quickens your footsteps. You find yourself sometimes struggling to understand things, and they help explain things. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We learn things and we're able to grasp the truth better and apply it better because of the fellowship we have with God's people. He was wise in the choice of his companions because here he is seeking those who will help him. Who'll be sympathetic, who will pray for him, who will help him and encourage him. Don't we all need these things? I am a companion of all them that fear thee. So he's wise in the choice of his companionship because the ungodly will vex the unbeliever. The ungodly are a source of temptation to the unbeliever. Whereas the godly will encourage the believer in his pilgrimage. And a final thing, the godly companionship pleases God. It pleases God. Doesn't it honour him? When we have fellowship one with another. Is not he glorified? When we end up encouraging one another in the ways of God, we're enabled more and more to live to his glory. And he takes note of it. The Lord caused a book of remembrance to be written for those who feared him and who thought about his name. They're speaking one to another. The Lord takes note of it. And it's as if he writes it down. These are the people who are honouring me. And he is pleased with such things. And surely if we love the Lord, we will long to please him. Surely our desire is to please our Heavenly Father. That's the right thing. And is it not the way to blessing? Well, let us more and more put into practice the example of the psalmist here. I am a companion of them that fear thee, of all them that keep thy precepts. Let us seek to be more and more in one another's company, that we might be fellow encouragers in the things of God. Let our greetings be more than just mere civility. Let them be Christ-centered and God-honoring and having that desire to encourage one another in the things of God. Let us delight in God's people as those who are fellow encouragers on the pilgrimage. And let us seek then to keep close to the Lord. And what will help us keep close to the Lord? Well, surely it is fellowship with God's people. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, of all them that keep thy precepts, may we all be able to see that and live it out in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, bless thy truth to us. Grant us grace that we indeed might be a people who love and fear thee and who seek the companionship of those who fear thee and love thy precepts. Bless thy truth to us and grant us grace to go on in thy strength. May we be encouragers one of another in the ways of God. Hear us, we pray, and forgive our